Good morning and welcome to the Fantasy Blink, a fantasy sports podcast. I am Brian Baines, and I am your host. It is Friday, January 26th, episode number 719. Welcome into the show. It is championship weekend. That's right. We've got two big games coming up on Sunday. But before we get to the previews on those, we have lots and lots of news to talk about before we get to the coaches. All of the coaches being hired here and there. There were a couple of scandals popped up yesterday. I saw one, read about a fantasy sports scandal. How fitting that would be for this particular show, because that's what we talk. It appears, apparently, in the NFFC, big provider of big tournaments and things like that, there was a little hijinks going on. I don't know if this was a season long or if it was a playoff tournament, but someone on the inside, someone with the ability to manipulate lineups and such, had connected with someone on the outside who had, I believe, was in the top five in a tournament, and the insider went in, changed a couple guys around, moved some lineups after the fact, after the games had started. In fact, it appears that Aaron Jones was one of the players moved in and out of a lineup, had himself a pretty decent game against Dallas, of course, three touchdowns. And so they completely got caught. And this, not surprising that they would get caught, because, you know, you get up into these tournaments up to that level, the people that are in the running, you know, top 10, whatever, you're watching it really closely, keeping an eye on things. You're not only watching your own roster, but you're also keeping a really close eye on everybody else's roster to see what their players are doing. And, red flag popped up. Somebody noticed that somebody's roster was not what it was prior to those games starting. So, guy gets fired, and other guy gets banned for life from that platform. So, you know, fantasy sports getting big, getting hot, getting heavy, big money running around. So when there's big money, there's always going to be the temptation for a little corruption in there. Also, speaking of gambling and corruption and temptation, it appears that Kayshon Boutte, wide receiver from, well, maybe possibly former wide receiver from the New England Patriots, while at LSU, had himself a little betting problem. He created, apparently, and I'm not sure if this is every state, the legal gambling age in Louisiana is 21. I'm not sure if it's 18 in some states and 21 in others, or if it's 21 everywhere. But he decided, Mr. Boutte decided to circumvent the system by creating an alias, creating a, you know, separate account, whatever, was able to manipulate the system and place a few bets. Well, not really a few bets, 8,900 bets between 2022 and 2023. 17 of those bets, or at least they're saying at least 17 of those bets, were placed on NCAA football games. And another, this one is the one that's going to really sting. At least 6 of those bets were placed on LSU games. So some felony charges coming down, computer fraud and other charges. So we'll see if Boutte can survive this one. Did not have what you would consider to be a great day or a great year for the Patriots anyway. So could be considered very expendable. And, you know, the NFL probably would love to make an example out of the young man, but just the way the landscape is set up, it's going to get more and more hard to navigate this when the NFL, the NCAA, they're all advertising the gambling sites constantly, nonstop throughout their broadcasts, even in the ticker. The broadcasters talk about it. Going to be very hard to influence those players to stay out of it when you are peddling it as a major part of your platform. So look for more in the future. Of course, this betting thing doesn't seem to be going away, and the guys, they're tempted. They're gonna do their thing. They're gonna gamble. So moving on to the coaches. Yeah, we had actually as I predicted on Tuesday, there would be some coaching vacancies filled, and there were four filled since Tuesday. The Chargers hire Jim Harbaugh out of the University of Michigan. Not necessarily being a Chargers fan, as you all know. Not necessarily a huge Jim Harbaugh fan, but yeah, I don't really have a choice here, right? So I can pout and say I didn't, you know, I wanted Ben Johnson to be hired by the Chargers, but they were not patient enough to make that happen. That's okay. Harbaugh has been successful. Harbaugh is obviously a very good coach. Did not leave the 49ers on the best of terms when he left there, but sounds like that was more of an issue with the front office than it was maybe with his players. So you cannot argue with success. He has had success at all levels of coaching, and think that he brings maybe a new mentality to this Chargers team that they need. Killer instinct, whatever. Unity, team unity, whatever it takes to get to the next level. So I'm in. I'm all in. Let's go, Harbaugh. Let's go, Chargers. I'm willing to give it a try. 5-year deal, so he's got 3 years to figure it out. As we know, with all NFL coaches, your contract means about as much as the paper it's written on. In terms of length. So, yeah. Good. Okay, I'm there. I'm in. Okay, let's go, Harbaugh. Let's go, Chargers. Probably the best candidate, or at least the most coveted candidate out of all of the guys that were up for coaching jobs. Falcons yesterday announced they have hired Raheem Morris, defensive coordinator out of from the Los Angeles Rams. Interesting, you know, they had interviewed Bill Belichick a couple times at least, looked like it was heading that way, going to be the guy. Don't know if it was on Belichick's side that he balked at it, or if the Falcons just felt like Morris was a better fit, but another Sean McVay coaching tree guy moves on to the Falcons, and we'll see if he can get that thing turned around. Has less to do probably with the coach and more to do with who they can get to play quarterback for that team. Pretty decent defense, pretty good offensive line. They obviously have some major offensive weapons, so we'll see what Morris can do with the defense and who he can bring in as an offensive coordinator to get that thing turned around. The Titans hire Brian Callahan. This might have happened even before Tuesday's show. I don't know. He was the Cincinnati offensive coordinator. So, good move there, obviously. But, you know, Callahan will find, I'm sure, that it's a little different game. You're running the offense with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Joe Mixon, and all those guys. He's not going to have quite the... list of weapons at Tennessee that he had at Cincinnati, so he might find the job to be a little more difficult to do with the talent level you have there in Tennessee. But good luck to Mr. Callahan. The Panthers yesterday surprised everybody by hiring Dave Canales. I think this is actually a good hire. Canales was most recently the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but in the previous year, 1 year earlier, he was the quarterback's coach for the Seattle Seahawks. So in 2 years, a meteoric rise, obviously, from quarterback's coach 2 years ago to head coach moving into next year. You have to assume that he was, you know, pretty crucial in the turnaround of Geno Smith's career up in Seattle 2 years ago, where he elevated himself all the way up to a top five fantasy quarterback. And then he moves to Tampa Bay as the offensive coordinator and revitalizes Baker Mayfield's quarterback career, makes him a top, I believe, want to say top 10 fantasy quarterback there. And then now he will have the ultimate in projects in Bryce Young with the Carolina Panthers. But I kind of like the hire. Kind of like it. Two teams remain to hire a coach because obviously the Patriots bringing in Jared Mayo or just retaining Jared Mayo and elevating him from linebackers coach to head coach. That leaves Seattle and Washington left to hire coaches, and we assume that both of them are interested in coaches on the staffs of the four teams that are remaining in the playoffs. Would be the only thing holding them up. Makes sense, right? Ben Johnson's still out there. I'm assuming he's going to land at one of the two. Washington would be really interesting because the Commanders bringing in Eric Bieniemy last year to be their offensive coordinator. If Ben Johnson were to get the job there, what do you do with Bieniemy? Because obviously Johnson's going to have a hand, a very large hand in the running of the offense, no matter where he ends up. Same thing kind of with the Chargers, looking like Kellen Moore probably will not remain as the offensive coordinator there. They're already talking about him in some other spots, possibly. Harbaugh will probably bring in his guys to fill out that staff. So more to come on that. Vic Fangio leaves the Dolphins, immediately moves up to Philadelphia, will be the DC up there. So a few more guys to fall into place. Will Houston be able to hold on to their offense or their offensive coordinator? Or I don't know if he's offensive coordinator or passing game coordinator or something like that, but I know he's been mentioned in a couple of coaching vacancies, possible moves there. But I think we'll probably have some more answers early next week, depending on the outcome of Sunday's games. Speaking of Sunday's games, we should probably get into those. We've got two games, obviously, the AFC and NFC championship games. We start off at noon Pacific time. Kansas City travels to Baltimore. Baltimore is a 4-point favorite, 44.5 point over under in this one. And again, as much as all of you know, I'll be pulling for Baltimore, cheering as loud as I possibly can for Baltimore, but in my heart of hearts, honestly believe that the stupid Kansas City Chiefs will find a way yet again to get their way back to the Super Bowl. Just heard a stat this morning that Andy Reid is 5-0 all time in the playoffs against guys that worked under him at some point. Harbaugh, and turns out Harbaugh down the tree, worked as a coordinator under Andy Reid in Philadelphia way back in the day. So that's got to be a curse right there. Does look like Tooney is probably going to be out on the offensive line for Kansas City. That won't be helpful. Pacheco isn't practicing, but it sounds like he will be able to play with a toe injury. Everything is looking good in Baltimore. I think we will get the return of Mark Andrews this week, how much that will impact. You know, will he take all the snaps away from Isaiah Likely, or will they share them, or will they run two tight end sets with both of them in there? Hard to say, but good to have that weapon in there. I'm gonna go here with, going to take Kansas City with the 4 points. We're going to go under the 44.5 points. I'm going to keep this a low-scoring game. All high-scoring last week. I think every game went over the over-under. So we're going to flip the script this week, and we'll go under on this one. But Kansas City will find a way yet again to reach the Super Bowl, and we will all be tortured for I believe it would be the third time in 4 years of having to watch them yet again. In the other game, afternoon game, evening game, whatever you want to call it, it's 3:30 Pacific time, so I was right. It was going to be exactly as they did it last week on Sunday, 12 o'clock first game, 3:30 second game, Detroit at San Francisco. San Francisco is a 7-point favorite in this one, 51.5 point over under. And again, as I mentioned on Tuesday, this one, and we don't have clarity yet, this one, to me, 1,000% comes down to Debo Samuel. If Debo plays, San Francisco wins and will cover the spread on the over. And if Debo does not play, Detroit wins, and with that 7 points, and will go under the 51.5. I think Debo is, for whatever reason, and he doesn't get that many touches, right? He can do what he does with 5, 6, 7, 8 total touches in the running game and in the passing game, but what he does to a defense to have to account for him obviously has a huge impact on the way they run that offense, because if you look at obviously Debo was out for most of the game last week, and the 49ers barely were able to sneak through. And the three-game losing streak that the 49ers had in the middle of the year coincided directly with Debo missing from the lineup. So I think it is just crucial to the San Francisco offense that he be able to be in there. And I think, again, Detroit can put enough points up, and if San Francisco is not able to match it, that's what you're going to run into. You're going to see a Detroit-Kansas City Super Bowl or a San Francisco-Kansas City Super Bowl, depending on whether Mr. Debo Samuel is in there. And that is what I've got. That's my 2 cents on the betting line. What do we got this weekend? Rain right now. It's raining out, which is a welcome thing. Right on the edge of snow. It's like 38 degrees or something like that, but at least we had rain down here where it's supposed to be, and probably snow up in the mountains, which is good. Looking forward to spending some time with family this weekend. My son, believe it or not, hard to believe, going to be turning 18 years old tomorrow. 18 years old. Yeah. How the time flies. Ed mentioned it in a earlier podcast, that he was, we talked about senior year and last water polo games, and he's coming up upon, we'll have a swim meet tonight, and it'll be, we're coming up to lasts in that department too. I believe the district meet will be in 2 weeks, and if he's solid enough and fast enough to make it to to qualify for the state tournament, that'll be the following week, and then that's it. That's going to do it for sporting events for the boy, and we're hitting the end of the semester, so officially halfway done with the school year, we're on the downhill side. It's going to go fast. And then it's on to college, and waiting to see how all that works out. Got a lot of applications out there, and waiting to see back. We're going next week. We'll be going into the house of the enemy. hard to believe, but we're going to, the boy and I are driving over to Eugene to go on a tour and a visit of the University of Oregon. Yeah, not my favorite, but it is a pretty amazing campus. They have, you know, a really solid film program there. Could be a good fit, and it's a lot closer to home than Los Angeles, California is. So we'll see. We'll see if that is a nice fit or not. So obviously we'll not be recording next Friday. Probably going to try to sneak it in on Thursday, I guess. We'll have something to talk about, whether it's my crappy NHL team that has decided to pick the second half of the season to tank, or, you know, my crappier NBA fantasy team. I don't know. Or my entire insane team that is on the block, on the trade block right now with no interest other than Jonathan Taylor. Come on, guys. Help a guy out. Help me rebuild on the fly. Let's do it. That'll be a podcast in itself, just talking about rosters and how quickly they age and, you know, how you deal with that. Yeah, sounds like a good episode right there. But for now, I've got eight, count them, eight report cards to finish up today. I've got to get them stuffed, got to get them stamped, got to get them licked and ready to send out in the mail next week. So that'll take up my day for sure. I hope your day is good. I hope your weekend is great. And let's go. Yeah, let's go Ravens. Please, please, Ravens. Come on, let's get something good going for the Harbaughs and get John back to the Super Bowl and give Jim a nice boost as he heads back into the NFL. All right, that's going to do it. I can hear the music playing. For the Fantasy Blink, I'm the Comanche. Have a great weekend, everybody. I am out of here.